Assistant Local Government Urban Affairs Committee, June 19, 1973, 8 a.m., 309 State Capitol. This morning, work session on Senate Bill 832, House Bill 2320, House Bill 2548, and House Bill 2965.
Senate Committee on Local Government Urban Affairs, come to order.
See, I want to, 2298.
I'll have to take care of it.
Oh, cut that out. Good bill, a lot of tab. Welcome home. Missed you yesterday.
Thank you, glad you did.
826. How about 2298? Well, go ahead, I'll come back to you.
2298.
That's a bill, I want to amend that to get it out. But let's go to the other one.
Is that, oh, that's the, I don't think you'll take that first.
My uncle.
What?
Work session?
Well, I think, I was saying, I believe I have to find another thing.
We had work session. Oh, that's not it. This is a work session.
Is that five now?
No, five, that's.
I've got some growth, I want the original, we didn't pass this. Which one's the one? 2298.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
Morning, I'm Dan Harris, I'm Dave Sanders.
Yeah. 832 in your book.
Well, you know, it is, the only one I've got in my book is the growth. And that's not the one we passed out. Why don't we come back to it, Keith, and all of growth amendments and check on the.
832.
I'm not sure either, Keith.
Want to go to 832?
Yeah, let's start there, and then we'll go back to that.
Yeah.
I know, same way we made it, I've known our.
Who's been speaking on that? Steve? You want to come on up there?
Don, you go to that.
No, Don, Marty. We have your attention now.
Fine.
Steve, it's my understanding that, correct me if I'm wrong, that House Bill 2548 and 2965, between them at least, cover everything that's in Senate Bill 832, and if we were to pass 832 and those two House bills, there'd be conflict, is that an accurate statement?
They don't cover everything that's in here now.
All right, what don't they cover in 832?
All right, let me make this suggestion. 215-030 is duplicated in 2548. 227-040 is otherwise being taken care of in 2965 and 2965.
When you refer to 832, what are you talking about?
Okay, Section 1, which amends 215-030, is taken care of in 2548.
2548, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Section 2, which is 227-040, is otherwise taken care of in 2965 and Senate Bill 647, which is not in this committee.
What's that bill, 647?
I think it's 647, right. We're repealing this section in both of those bills. And 242-360 is okay in this bill. And 456-110 is amended by House Bill 2909, which has passed, as I understand it. So we can take it out. So what we have left then is Sections 4, which is 242-360. Well, let me see. Section 3, which is 241-075, Section 4, which is 242-360, Section 5, which is 242-710, and Section 7, which is 463-110. And those would remain in this bill.
Chairman, where are 2548, 2965?
They are.
2548 and 4.
They're on the agenda.
We have both?
Yes, and they're on the agenda today.
Probably tabled, but 32.
Well.
Your lead answer?
No. think there's probably some need for. Who would be, who testified on these? John?
Well, Chairman, how's the need on 832 different from the need on 2548 and 2965?
Well, the point is that 2548 and 2965 do not cover everything that 832 does.
Well,
and
right.
I'm not sure how important the items that are left in 832, but let's, if I understand your question,
well, yeah, the thing that bothers me, Chairman, is the legislature, I think, is going to make the greatest mistake it ever made. I can identify now five bills that amend 44040. One of them will be up on third reading again today. It's going to go 400, and none of them match. 44040. I think there are five bills. They don't match, and it's going to come down to get the governor to sign them in the right order. And that's an incredibly bumbling position for the legislature to be in. And it's not legislative council's fault any more than it's our fault. But what it is our inability to put the thing together. We're passing five bills that affect the same section, and we're just incapable of getting our heads together on it. And it's just going to be a fright. And we got another
one
this morning.
Well, what we can say is we can amend 2482 that's important in the council.
Okay, that may be, but it seems to me that maybe if there's something that's 832 that you'd like to keep, if it's relevant, if it's germane, we ought to take it and put it in either 2548 or 2965. I would argue the other way, to take 2548 or 2965, put it into 832, except we're in the closing months of the session, and these are already passed.
Don, do you want to address yourself to that?
This is very point.
Yes.
I would think at least on I'm Don Clancy, City Attorney.
Why don't you sit down over there beside me?
On 832, the only portions I looked at particularly were 215.030, Section 1, which is covered by, in some, whether it's the exact duplicate language, by 2548. And the City Planning Commission, Section 227.040, which is in Section 2, is in fact covered by 2965. Not the exact language, but it's been that measure. The Boxing and Wrestling Commission in Section 7 is the only other one as far as the city's right to the point go, and I don't think anyone's worrying about that. I don't think there's any comparable bill covering Boxing and Wrestling Commissions at this session.
Okay, you talked about Section 1 was important, that's already covered, and what is it?
And Section 2 is covered by the...
And you feel those are two significant parts of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only other one touching cities, Section 7 of Boxing and Wrestling, the world's not going to come
together. You don't think we need to have a separate piece of legislation to accomplish that? Has anybody else that's been involved in Senate Bill 832 testified on it have any reaction to Bill?
Mr. Chairman, there's another, I haven't looked very closely, but there's another information reference in there, Section 3, and I don't know about it.
Well, Section 3, it involves the removal of a county commissioner.
County commissioner.
At the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
That's line 30, page 2. Is that a great moment for your organization? All right. Senator Carson moves to the table, Senate Bill 832. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye. All right, we'll go to House Bill 2220. Okay. What's the committee's desire on House Bill 2320? The chairman moves to the floor of the new pass recommendation. Discussion?
Mr. Chairman, wow.
Egbert.
I continue to have, not the original, or the legislation, I probably took very,
to put the two students on the state board of education, higher education. Beyond that, part of the grievance procedures mentioned, I mentioned a lot of, I think they have a problem with Clark's story, and I was absolutely disgusted by the lack of response on the part of the federal government. If I'm going to be consistent, vote against putting sport fishermen on the fishing commission, and sea growers, environmentalists, on the one hand, and the other hand, on the sea count, sea growers are on, so they might not vote.
Section 11.
Section 2548.
Right. I have a question regarding the
Mr. Chairman, on page 5, line, line 20, it discusses the creation of a area planning advisory committee, principally within a county and sometimes surrounding a city, within a 6-mile perimeter. Now, we have a kind of unusual situation in some of the rural areas. For example, in South Clackamas County, it's a good deal further than 6 miles, or even 12 miles, for that matter, between some of the communities. And I had a phone call from a lady who was on one of the advisory committees, and she lived greater than 6 miles from the city of Trinity. She was on that particular area planning committee. I think she raises a very valid point, and if we can somehow take care of that problem, we can go to the next one. That means 22, at least taking out the money they're talking about here. So he has to be a certified appraiser and have done either than us doing it.
If you want to amend that,
handle it that way, don't change it.
Thank you.
Can you accomplish what's going to accomplish by amendment 6 on line 20 based on or half, but you don't know what to figure.
Could I ask, let's say,
sure.
Is it possible for us to add a phrase in there, 6 miles west, further than that, at the discretion of the commission?
I don't see what you're trying to get at.
No.
The six.
Let's use a specific call. Here's the city of Canby, and they have an area, let's say, goes out 10 miles. Is a planning area, and the person who is on this advisory committee lives about 8 miles from Canada. The way she read the language, she would be restricted on that area. She lives outside 6 miles.
That's just striking anything about miles in this logical geography. You're right, Tony.
Tony, let me suggest something here.
Okay, here's a suggestion, Mr. Chairman.
Strike out within 6 miles.
That's what geographic area.
Pardon me? What do you say, and such land surrounding the city and located outside the boundaries of the city as the governing body determines to be a reasonable
there
land planning, just leave out within 6 miles. It's limited to
right?
Land within the
planning. Right, Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 2548 on page 5. Line 20, striking words within 6 miles.
Okay, you heard the motion. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no.
No, I don't hear Karen.
All right. Are there any other proposed amendments or that we have on House Bill 2548?
Chairman.
Yes.
Did you have the one that we presented at the last section 1, subsection 2?
Section 1, subsection 2.
Page
2.
This section, have you liberally construed and so forth? Did you have
right. I presented a one sentence amendment that would simply clarify that.
You see it?
Yes.
I don't recall that. Wes, what's the purpose of the amendment?
Our legal counsel says that with the present language, he would be questionable whether we could establish an area-wide planning commission in our area. That this language would simply clarify the intent of that bill, which is to allow for an area-wide commission through intergovernmental agreement. Because this is a county bill, he feels that this language should be in that.
Let me read the amendment to you. the authority granted under this subsection. This is in lieu of the present subsection 2 to section 1.
No, this is an addition to.
Oh, you're adding this to it?
Yes.
Okay, I beg your pardon. The authority granted under this subsection shall be construed to permit creation of a single area planning commission to perform the functions otherwise exercised by separate city and county planning commissions, and permit creation of a single area planning commission in an area consisting of one or more cities and additional territory outside the city. And permit this to be done by any county by ordinance. Is that right?
Intergovernmental agreement, right.
And intergovernmental agreement.
Right. Between the county or counties and the central city.
Okay.
They must all concur.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I don't think there's any question about the language on page 2, section 2, in allowing intergovernmental cooperation in the area planning. And I think that, first of all, I think it's redundant. Secondly, I think it obviates and would be the same as Senate Bill 826 in this regard. Senate Bill 826 allows for the administrative procedure for the creation of an area-wide planning commission. But this language, no, it doesn't mean you have my vote, nor do you have my vote on this amendment. It's very simple. But this amendment, added to the bill, is the same as the creation of an area-wide planning commission without the principles of establishment.
The lady back there shaking her head. I forgot your name.
I'm Ellen Lowell. I'm city council.
That's better. Sorry.
I've served on the planning commission for 4 years, and if the advice of our legal counsel in our area that this language is not specific enough, that it now reads 1548, you'll recall that Representative Morris did endorse this particular amendment because it was the intent of the House Committee to make this possible.
Senator, this was Senate Bill 2463 originally.
Where is that?
Yeah, it's incorporated in this engrossed bill.
How come this language wasn't incorporated by the House Committee?
No, it wasn't. They asked us to take it up to the Senate, but Representative Morris did endorse it before the committee.
Senator Meeker.
No, it wasn't me.
My will. I wonder, Wes, if you could tell us why did the bill say it's not covered? I imagine two lawyers could look at the same paragraph and disagree,
yeah.
I suppose.
That's right. Ed Sullivan appeared before his meeting and said it was covered. The bill says it is. We would like to remove that down. This is a county bill, Senator Carson, and this would relate to city planning commission. Because this is a county bill, he feels that it should be specific that you may create a single area-wide planning commission by this language.
What it says for a county or the use of a joint planning commission or other intergovernmental agency for planning under 190-03.
It's still a county bill, though. It relates to county planning commission.
Yeah.
And by
what do we do about that? You're not suggesting that we write city planning authority into 215, are you?
No, I'm not. And the problem, according to Bill Uza, Senator Carson, is that the city planning legislation is 227.
Right.
The county legislation is ORS 215.
And if they both say you can use intergovernmental agencies, how can I be any clearer?
Well, I'm just repeating his comments, that if I came to him with this bill to create an area commission, he would have to question whether we should. And he endorses our proposed amendment.
Is his problem, Wes, that he feels that the city could not initiate a joint planning commission under the language, under existing sub 2?
Maybe. It may be.
The city can initiate?
His concern.
What does the word create under? What's it creating?
That's what bothers me. The only thing I'm looking for here is the emphasis on counties.
Yeah, this is a county village, you know.
Well, I know, but you're tying it into the intergovernmental cooperation agreements, and anybody can initiate.
Under Chapter 190, they can.
Yeah, a public agency. That's what bothers me. If, even if the language here is worded with respect to counties and citizens or whatever else we've got in here.
Well, yeah, but yeah, under 190, it's still it's the intergovernmental cooperation.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
I think 2548 is a good bill. I think that we need this legislation. It provides for some of the kind of things that we've been looking for in the area of removal commissions, in the area of establishing certain specific needs from who should be on the planning commission, who shouldn't. And I just do not believe that we should jeopardize that legislation by tying up this kind of
legislation. Am I understanding you're moving it before the pass recommendation?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Discussion on the motion?
Yeah, I have quite a bit of discussion.
Chairman, there.
One of the things that I think is very clear, and I've been arguing about for a long time, but I don't think it's a good idea to have the planning commission, which is advisory for the most part, and to pass this stuff for the whole part, to be removed at the pleasure of the governing body, the city council, in this case, the county commission. In growth 2548, it takes a step away. It's supposed to be a bill that's going to clear up the issue. A member appointed to the planning commission may be removed by the governing body after hearing if requested by the member. On what grounds? We're taking out misconduct or non-performance duties, but presumably it's broader than those two. Under the Fasano decision, as I understand it, this body is clearly identified now as having quasi-judicial or judicial function. And I think, to me, it's intolerable to have judges serve the pleasure of the appointing body, much like it to me would be incredible to have the judges of the Supreme Court serve the pleasure of either the legislature or the governor. And it's implicit here. I realize where we're going because the Tillamook County got in a flat with its county commissioners. And according to most planners, the county commission was right, the planning commission was wrong. But I've seen it work the other way too, Chairman, where the county planning commission or the city planning commission, and this is working out because the same fuzzy language is going to be used in the city area, where the planning commission held out for the comprehensive plan and the city council and the county commission went back to its old form. And I just don't think judges ought to serve as the pleasure of the governing body. They move one step away, that is, they can can him anytime they want to after he's had a hearing. But on one ground.
Okay. Senator Carson moves the language read on lines 22 and 23, page 2 of the Growth House Bill 2548 to be restored. Discussion. Well, I'm going to ask a question. I'm not sure this is correct. But it would seem that in the Fasano that the logical extension would be that they'd have to make the same kind of finding in removing the planning commissioner that they would Fasano require in changing those.
But why do you remove, my point is, why do you remove a planning commissioner? Do you remove him because he doesn't agree with the city council? And if that's what this bill goes through, I'm going to oppose it as strongly as I can. If they're removing because he is not conducting himself properly or if he fails to perform, great. But I think the fact that he doesn't agree with the city council, I think it works generally, maybe not in Tillamook County, but generally it works for the benefit for the people that stated rather than the detriment.
Is there further discussion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the motion would be, subject to Steve's concurrence, would be to delete the new language on lines 19, 20, and 21.
19.
Okay. And restore the deleted language in lines 22 and 23. So it would read, basically the statute would read as it is now, except we'd add for the unexpired term of the predecessor in the office, which.
So let's see how that reads, and anything that shall be filled by the governor's appointment.
Who may, after hearing, remove any member for misconduct.
Okay, so the motion is.
Well, it's going to take.
Could I just split those two sentences?
Yeah.
Okay. You got the second motion, Ken? You hold on one second. Right, Matt? Well, we're going to take a vote right now. Any further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mr. Dickerson?
No.
Mr. Johnson?
Aye.
Mr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Cook?
Oh, abstain, I don't want to.
Mr. Winfrey?
Aye.
Mr. Deacon?
Motion carries.
Yes.
No, that's amended. Are there other proposed amendments to House Bill 2548?
Senator Sherman?
I'd like to have somebody explain to me why we're not paralleling 2965 with 2548. That's one of the business, really bugaboos over the years. The county works one way and the city works another, and it's going to be a particular bugaboo if in fact these agencies can work together and form one plan. Which do they fall? The city planning authority or the county planning authority? What I'm pointing to primarily is it parallel? I'll ask that question first of all. Are they substantially parallel if we make that?
Don, can you address yourself with that?
I don't think they're essentially parallel at all, quite frankly. And the third alternative is that Senator Carson's suggestion is Bob's role to proceed as rather.
I see a little memorandum here. That might be a better way.
What little memorandum?
Well, there's a little memorandum here from Don to indicate maybe a better way to do it is let the city and county establish their own procedure.
Okay.
The point I'm getting to is that we either, I think we have to be parallel. Time has come to be parallel. If not, then maybe I'll let them take their own lead.
Where do you think they have to be parallel?
Well, that's the question. Are there similar practice in the county and the city? And I've never heard of a very good explanation of why the county ought to operate in one direction and the city operate in another direction. But the question that Don raises is maybe the cities and counties ought to do their own thing and we ought to just authorize them to approach the city here.
That's on page 2 of the memo.
At least as far as cities are concerned, they ought to do their own thing. Well, Mr. Chairman, these are important bills, and I'd like to see them get through because they have substantial merit. I don't mean to prolong the body, but however, they're both House bills. I think we've made an improvement on 2548. The question I'm asking, I guess, is philosophical. Should they be parallel? If they're not parallel, do we really intend the differences between counties and cities? If we don't, then would we not be better advised to adopt Mr. Atmaska's proposal?
Well, let's consider this. Maybe we want to undertake now, to make a plan. And it doesn't seem to me like I've been moved from out of the task if we have a job done in the next couple of days.
Does Steve have any?
Well, now, what do you mean by parallel? That's what I want to know. You want to have the same cause that we just put back in counties?
Yeah,
and
I'll
city?
Move that. I'll move that when we get to cities. That'd be one change. But, well, what I'm getting at basically is that if we're going to prescribe rules, procedures, terms, grounds for removal for city rules, or we're now doing county, why aren't they the same for cities? And if they're not the same for cities, why aren't they the same for cities? Don, the answer is, our cities are different, and I suggest we let cities do their own.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm sorry.
I think that Senator Carson has raised a very, very interesting point. Perhaps does what he said. My only concern is that we're going to vote on the tax plan this afternoon, and as soon as we fill up basic schools, it's just a matter of time that we're out of here. And I'd much rather there's some other bills that we can do. I'd be more inclined to pass the legislation as it is before and take up the kind of difference that Senator Carson interjected to him. Perhaps I'm getting too hasty, but I think there's much need in this legislation that goes beyond.
Well, I think you're probably correct. I posed the question.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'll back off. I would agree with Senator Meeker that there's enough merit in the bill to pass them.
But at some juncture, the legislature is going to have to repeal both of these.
There should be a standard procedure.
Right.
It doesn't seem to me that it constitutes that, that that will live in the draft control. The president between now and the Wednesday night meeting. Well, seriously.
No, very seriously, you're right.
You can retain both bill numbers, and you can take the one of them and set forth the procedure there, and then in the other one, you can refer to the ORS number. It would seem to me procedure for planning commission, for county planning commission, under this section shall be the same. I don't agree with that.
Senator Meeker?
He had some problems right away, and I can see that the chairman of the county is different than this. I said you have some problems that I can see immediately where the counties are different than the cities. You have area-wide planning advisory committees in the county. We've already amended that section of the bill. It speaks to an area outside of a certain city for planning. Cities don't have that. There are some many inherent differences. It's a very long and involved, and I think it will be a difficult task. I'd much rather see it built than it owned.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, one of the differences historically has been that cities, believe it or not, have looked to their own procedure for enacting a planning commission. Counties, of course, lack some of the least notified home rule authority. And this section, of course, is 309, may in fact cure that. But counties outside of home rule counties have had to look to the statutes for their procedures and their makeup. The third reason is that the county provisions are much more precise and detailed with respect to a comprehensive plan. Cities have never had a comprehensive plan requirement until Senate Bill 100 was passed, and that is probably the third area where cities and counties, at least until this session, have differed considerably. And I think you may have some problems in the comprehensive plan language as it applies to cities in Senate Bill 100, as opposed to 2548 with the comprehensive plan language that goes with the county planning.
Let me go off on a kind of a tack here for a second, maybe a little bit of what we're discussing now. Don, you've got several suggestions here in your memorandum 2965. Were you at our hearing, our previous hearing of
this? I came to the very first hearing it had, Senator, and then at the time I had seen the re-engrossed bill for the first time. And
re-engrossed? Or
engrossed? Engrossed, I'm sorry. And then I came down to the Wednesday evening meeting, which was canceled.
Okay. Now, what my question is, you've got several suggestions here. One of them is rather significant one, and that is on page 2, but you've got some other suggestions. Now, you've heard our discussion here. We'd like to do some rather major overhauling, but I think the consensus is that's impossible to do the time. Now, what I want to know is, how significant to the cities in our state are these amendments you're proposing compared to taking the risk of having no bill at all?
If I may, Mr. Chairman, if you put a city like Beaverton in a difficult position, you may say that.
Well, no, I asked the question very seriously, and maybe there's some suggestions we got here in the memorandum that. No. Will not be so difficult if we can't incorporate them. Others may be putting the legislation in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. As far as the on page 2 of my statement on amending it so that in effect, and the city of Eugene, I noticed, has the same suggestion, is that the city council by ordinance simply decides whether you have 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, and what the procedures will be, and so forth. Senator Carson spoke to the question of removal. Now, we have misconduct and non-performance in there. We have for cause. We have the appointing authority by the mayor with approval of the council. I'm sure other cities have different procedures, no question about it. Most cities, in my opinion, do not need to look to the
state statute for enabling legislation.
Senator Johnson.
No. But Mr. Chairman, isn't that Senator Carson's point? Or at least if it is, and it seems to me that something I strongly believe in, you're saying that most cities by charter provide for their definition of their planning commissions and qualifications and procedures. Since the court has seen fit to impose the mantle of quasi judicial authority upon cities and county planning commissions, it seems to me that we have a responsibility to promulgate the standard statewide set of criteria governing planning commissions and not leave it up to the individual city. Now, I assume here we get into a constitutional question with respect to the charter, and I don't know how we surmount that, but I think that we definitely should follow the concept of the statute. I think there may be some that think, as far as Beaver is concerned, that they should have a conflict of interest statute on the other end of the spectrum and that which is proposed here. But without regard to that, don't you think we have to? I mean, we obviously don't.
Well,
but I do.
Two responses, if I may, Senator. One is, as far as the legal ability for a city to enact that, the case of Eugene Salem in Portland, of course, there's some question about their charter authority. Any charter with a general grant of power, it is my opinion, has ample charter authority to zone the plan. That's not really an issue, I don't think. Speaking directly on the conflict of provision, conflict of interest provision, the city of Beaverton and other cities intend to go further because you're covering only the planning commission, and if the council is the final arbiter, for example, they're the ones that should be the two developers, which you can never have, of course, and they should have the conflict, and we intend to get to that. I mean, even a city attorney counseling planning commission and council, it may be sui generis, but you have those issues. On the procedures, I say it's premature now, and for this one reason is that after the Pisano decision came down, I argued on re-argument and assisted on the brief on the amicus brief. We had a session with a number of county councils and city attorneys and a member of the attorney general's staff just talking about procedures. And not tooting, I prepared the outline, and I'll tell you right now there's a considerable degree of difference as to what procedures are applicable, what should be done, what should not be done. And I'm simply suggesting now is that for, say, the 2 years, is give Multnomah County a chance to promulgate some procedural rules in the city of Eugene, and then you'll have the experience of 2 years. This sounds like pie in the sky, but at least on something like this, you'll have the experience 2 years hence to promulgate a specific procedural thing. The hearing officer provisions of this is fine. I think there's some legal impediment whether we can use them or not. But if you look at the hearing provisions here, you may in fact do away with the planning commission outside of an advisory role, which may be good. But there's a question of whether you could even have a zone change go through now the way it's worded. I see some real problems in integrating what you have here.
Chairman, could we perhaps put this on with you? I'd like to talk with Don and Steve and John. What I'm leading up to is I agree with John's argument that we ought to set out guidelines. Unfortunately, and Don has pointed out, I think some of the cities, perhaps some of the counties, are a lot better than the statutes. But the legislature has gotten into this because places like Salem, up until 1969, on a seven-member panel, or eight, nine-member panel, had four or five members that were either employees of the city or city council. You know, in a day of conflict of interest, it's incredible that city managers are voting member of a planning commission along with the director of public works and the city attorney. But until 3 years ago, that was permitted until we changed the state law. So I agree with you, John, that there's some things although counties and cities are coming alive on this, I don't mean to be unduly harsh on them. problem is the legislature has got partway into the problem and has frozen the procedural aspects. It's not, for instance, I don't think that the legislature ought to mandate whether there's 5, 7, or 9. Now, there is some flexibility here. I think the real question is that we're not in a position to write the kind of procedure necessary for some. I don't think the cities are, judging from what I read, in any better shape than we are, because Ellen knows better than I do, I guess it's gone, but most of the sustainable planning committee meetings now, according to the newspaper, are spent debating Fasano and whether or not they have the right procedures. And if we could solve that one, we'd probably be doing the cities and counties to get the service going, but I don't think the next 2 days is going to work.
Well, whatever you say,
I think the issue before us, Mr. Chairman, is the one that Don has presented very clearly. Do we leave the statute the way it is? I don't think anybody wants to do that, because these are good improvements in here. Do we want to pass this and make a modest change and then study it for 2 years? Or do we want to go laissez-faire, so to speak, and adopt Don's recommendations on procedures and let the cities and counties attempt to work out their best procedures and then the set of five session adopt take what? I agree with John. I think it's important that if I live in the city, I have generally the same procedure as I do when I go to the county. I think you just can't have 300 different types of procedures depending on what planning condition you're appearing.
Senator Meeker.
I think the groundwork has been laid for the need for some kind of change, and I would expect that if it were apparent enough, it could be brought up in May or April or whatever we're going to meet in 1975. Hopefully, we will make the modest change to see this
section.
74.
If we ever adjourn.
If we ever adjourn, you know, in the closing months of the legislature, it's going to come home in 15. I'd like to see you take action on these bills.
Wally, with your desire, you will be turning down for asking to confer along with Don's connections and others before we take action.
Well, if that would be of any help, I don't know whether
we put it on the agenda for tomorrow night. Did I understand you're not going to be here? Is there a problem with you being here for us?
Yes, quite a problem. I won't be here. I'll be here from 6 to 7, whatever.
Senator Burns, are you discussing 2959?
Kind of.
Yes.
I forgot who you were.
John Porter of the City of Eugene.
Okay.
I wonder if
come
you
on up, John.
Thank you.
What is your position, City of Eugene?
The City of Eugene.
Your position.
We're supportive of the bill.
What is your title?
Planning Director.
Thank you.
Secretary of the Planning Commission and the Renewal Agency and a whole bunch of other things. I wrote you a letter, and I wonder if you had a chance to look at that or legal counsel had a look at it. Basically, we support...
When did you write that?
Last Thursday, I guess it was.
We have it? I don't recall seeing it.
I have extra copy here.
I don't recall seeing it. I may have it.
Well,
I'm sorry, Don. I don't. We'll ask John Burns if he got it.
I didn't get it.
Off time.
No, I got it. Sent it to Keith.
You'll probably have to write a comprehensive plan on how to get it here the next time.
Well, could I just make a couple of brief comments about it?
Go ahead.
Number one, the hearing official process that you suggest in the bill, we think is desirable. It gives alternatives to having to have the Planning Commission. But we think that there's some language in the legislation that can create some real problems. The way the bill is now written, if the hearings official is going to have a hearing on a fence variance, you know, the height of a fence, it's the same kind of procedure. There's only one hearing procedure for a fence variance or a versus maybe a 10-acre or 20,000-unit planned unit development. The same procedure, there's only one procedure, and that's the only one they can enact in the way the bill is now written.
2965?
Yes.
What is that procedure?
It says the local government will establish that procedure, but they say it just says procedure, not procedures. It's one procedure for every type of action that's going to be heard. Now that may be interpreted as.
John, let me interrupt just 1 second. Now, okay, it appears we're not going to be able to take action on two bills today because of suggestions here. They're very helpful, and I just addressed myself to the committee now.
Till seven.
All right, we're going to have.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, let's see. Maybe would
Chairman, would there be any objection to? If you're going to meet at 6, maybe we ought to meet at 5:30.
Okay, you have to give me your 5:30. Okay, the meeting tomorrow night will be at 5:30. And I want to warn you that I'm going to have everybody here if I can, and every bill on the agenda is going to have a motion to go to the floor with a due pass recommendation, subject to any amendment proposed by the member, and subject to any subsequent motion to table. Okay?
I haven't noticed that from any difference in the way I'm operating.
Well, this is a June 19th admonition.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest people who bring objections to this bill, both bills, would get together in a room, close the door, and beat it out until they bring us their money.
Well, now. Okay, some of the amendments are not, the amendments in each instance are not conflicting with the philosophy that are being set forth. Some of them are procedure, but I think there have been some good suggestions here. But our problem is they're coming down the pike fairly late, and this is in part because we had to cancel our last Wednesday meeting. We'll put these two bills on the agenda for tomorrow night on a work session. Now, John, can you and Don work together on suggestions? Now, Bill?
Can I meet at 12:30 today?
12:30?
Yeah, not the committee, but the
subcommittee?
Yeah, the ones that are raising objections to the two bills and those who want to protect them.
You, will you be here?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Let's see where we can be. Don?
Yes, sir.
John, will you be here at 12:30 today?
I'll be. Yes.
Here in this room?
Okay.
All right. Senator Carson will be here, and I plan on being here. I can't guarantee it, but I plan on being here. We'll notify John Burns. There'll be a subcommittee meeting on these two bills in this room at 12:30 today, and Don, John Porter, Senator Carson, and.
Well, could you call Ellen?
Tony, did you want to be here?
I'll try and come.
Okay. At 12:30 here.
Can we have our books here?
Well, there's a problem with revenue at 1 o'clock.
Oh, well,
okay, maybe we don't need someplace else.
Well, I'll be there.
No,
that's not an option.
Well, I don't know that Michael passed the letter.
Well, let's see.
Biggest room in the house.
The revenue needs to get up.
Well,
look, you come You come to my office 306 at 1225 if you haven't already been advised.
Why would you even tell me to? Can we use you? 12-8, would somebody be up there with us?
Yeah. What, your office?
Yeah, you've got the biggest office. Yeah, the biggest office in London.
I've never been up there.
It's an evacuated bathroom.
That's a bad choice.
All right, we'll meet at Senator Meeker's office. What room is that?
406.
So you're directly over there?
Ted and Helen still in the office.
Cool. Okay, 406 to 1230, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I'd like to move 2298.
What is that fuel?
Oh, yeah.
Chairman,
2298.
Yeah,
I was the bill
that
I got scratched on
my
head on by one vote on.
That's
reported
out section?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you recall, we went back to the original bill, which I have in front of me. We're talking about qualifications for the assessment. Mike Thorne objected successfully. Eloquently, is that turning over the certification of appraisers in part to such things as the American Institute of Real Estate Appraisers, the International Society of Real Estate Appraisers, the International Association of Assessing Officers, was monkey business. I concur. And so I now move that we, on House Bill 2298, which is, I guess it's the reading of the House Bill, because we went back to the original version, that we delete lines 18, 19, 20, 21, and 22, and renumber the subsequent paragraph, so that a person is not eligible to hold the office of county assessor unless A, is a certified appraiser under ORS 308-010, and B, he has 2 years of office and accounting experience, including experience in office management activity, or C, he has two years of full-time employment in the office of county assessor. My second amendment is on line 27, deleting the personnel division and instituting Department of Revenue. Now, the effect of my two motions, Mr. Chairman, are to say that we are still setting qualifications for assessor, which appears to have a majority of the favorable consideration of the Senate, taking out the monkey business about the various societies, and putting the Department of Revenue in for the personnel division on judging whether or not the candidate has met the qualification. I make that motion and to amend.
Okay, you heard the motion discussion. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. The amendments are adopted.
I'm going to
the floor. The new pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Thank you, sir.
Aye.
Mayor
Hurton. Aye.
Senator Jansen.
Aye.
Senator Meeker.
He votes aye. Senator Carson carries aye.
I also move, Mr. Chairman, the companion bill, HCR 22, I believe it is, to the floor. That's a constitutional amendment, and I'd ask that please put you in the room. Well, I'd like to have Miriam put them both on the calendar the same day, and with specific requests to suggest that HCR follow HCB 2298. It will not, unless we make a specific request, and in that we've amended HB 2298, they'll have to be taken down on different days so that they both come up on the same day.
Okay.
So I move HR 22 back to the floor.
Clerk Hollow.
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. 5:30
in the morning.
12:30 today. one more time. Senate Committee on Local Government Urban Affairs come to order. Is there somebody here from the PUC? Yeah. Robin here?
Yeah.
Come on up here. Is there anybody here representing any water company? Okay, Robin. Okay, we got 2270 and 3106 on our agenda today. Now, 2270 went to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation out of the State and Federal Affairs Committee, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about six or seven water companies involved, and it would take them from under the jurisdiction of the PUC. Now, what was, is that correct?
No, sir,
all
not
right.
Exactly. The bill was originally written in...
I'm not concerned about that. I'm talking about the way it is here now.
Yeah, well, it has been amended so that it would exempt all water companies.
Well, how many are there?
Oh, there's only like 85.
Somebody told me there's six or seven.
No, there are 85. Well, about 60 of those are very small. Pardon?
Originally written.
Originally, we wanted to exempt some of the very, very small water companies from some minor bookkeeping requirements that had no effect on service or rates to the customer.
Okay, so what the original bill was that any water utility serving less than 200 customers are rated. Okay, why do you want to exempt them?
We exempted them only from some record keeping, some bookkeeping. They were still under our jurisdiction for quality of service, for adequacy and non-discrimination and so forth. And they would also come under our jurisdiction again immediately if they had charged more than the ceiling price.
So the public was still protected?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we were after.
All right. Now, as it was amended, I saw some conflicts with an amendment we had to 3106.
Yes.
And the amendments we have at 3106, we had water companies come in here and objected, and they recently objected to 3106, which would permit cities and I guess other municipal corporations or somebody to reach out beyond their borders, and they could take and put in water systems and so forth and carve in on area that they intended to service. And it seemed to me that they had a reasonable argument for this reason, that they built a plant with capital improvements in looking out the land out here, and so they had these improvements, and then suddenly this big pipe that comes to an end here at a line somebody drew across a piece of paper, and that seemed unfair to me, and that was their testimony. And so we have an amendment, I don't know whether we adopted it yet or not, but we have it that would have the PUC give them an area, a geographical jurisdiction that they could serve,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they would know what kind of a plant, and if they make a mistake, that's their fault.
Yes.
And I understand the PUC has no quarrel with that. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Now, would this apply to the little districts as well?
Yes. They would be given territories in the same nature if any water company
then,
is claimed it.
All right. All right. How did this amendment come about to...
We're not really sure.
But that involves...
Total deregulation of all water
companies.
Okay, companies.
Now, but that, how many companies are involved in those big districts?
There are really six or seven large,
okay,
large
companies.
Okay,
that's the ones that I'm talking about.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay,
this is what I recommend to the committee, and I want your reaction to this when we get right down to the nub of this thing, is to amend 2270 back to the original language, and to adopt the amendment to 3106 and send both bills back to the floor of the due pass recommendation. I say back, 3106 didn't get that far yet.
Can you divide that? Up?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You got
it. Sit down. I know. With the PUC regulating this amendment, is this going to stop the fire districts from Portland? Is there any way that you can make them know where their lines go and which hydrants they go?
Well, as far as the city of Portland is concerned, we don't regulate because it's a municipal system, and so we don't say anything about that system. If under 3106 we are supposed to allocate territories outside municipal boundaries, then any water district that was serving outside the limits of Portland would be affected then by our jurisdiction.
We have water districts in East Buffalo was trying to have a line here, a line here, a line here, and they're all free, all different water districts, and they're continually are turning off somebody else's hydrant, or even removing the hydrant. Somebody's house gets on fire, you go down there, and there's a hydrant on that corner, and you get there, and there's no hydrant, or you get there, and you get hooked up to it, and you turn on the water, and there's no water.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether the PUC commissioners do anything about it, but I sure wish you'd try.
Well, if there is a private water district in that area, then we can talk to that private water district and City Lake them to investigate this.
The District 10 can give you all the evidence you need.
Okay.
Anything else?
We delete the amendment.
Delete the amendment on 2270, Senator Howard, so moved.
Were there amendments?
Delete the amendment on 2270.
All right, I told him.
I'm talking about the amendment to the original bill.
Well, that makes it feel like it's more expensive.
You did it. But you see, we're doing something else here.
Yeah.
While we take it away, we give elsewhere.
Right.
Is that the way that goes?
Yeah. He who taketh shall not receive.
Oh. Somebody else around here hasn't read it.
Oh, that's wrong. That's a big motion. Oh, so we're all waiting for it. All of us waiting for it. You guys just read the story.
Oh, they want to see the amendment.
Yeah, well,
I look at the memo.
Not 2270, you're wrong. Okay,
you already have 2270? Okay, Tony? Tony? You didn't hear the testimony, Tony. All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, how does this affect the water district flat outline by
Goose
Mine
Group? What happened was the big water district, I assume Straub was one of them, am I right? Does he fall in that category? I don't know whether he does or not. Maybe not. Yes, he does. Okay. He falls in that category. They were in the PUC wanting to get out from underneath the regulation. Oh, no, I beg your pardon. It started out when PUC introduced a bill that would limit bookkeeping and so forth of very small districts, but they'd still be able to regulate them, and therefore the people were protected. And it would appear for me, not knowing where the amendments came from or anything in 2270 in the committee over in the House, that somebody thought it would be great to do all this for about six or seven big water companies, too. And so they went in and got themselves included. Now, we're doing something for these big water companies in 3106, something they never had before. They're being protected by being guaranteed a geographical area that they can serve. And the city, nobody can they do an end run around and chop them off at the end of the pipe.
The next question I have is, I understand Pacific Power and Light owns the water district. They're regulated by the PUC.
That's right.
And now they will not be?
Oh, yes, they will.
Yeah. They won't be under
yes, they
under
will.
The bill.
Well, not the will, the way the bill is now.
Yeah.
There's much less regulation under the bill, but they will be if we take these amendments out of 2270 and send it back the way the bill was originally constituted.
Where are the amendments?
If you look at the front of the summary there, the stuff that's in brackets will be restored and the new language down below will be deleted. I mean,
you go back to the original bill.
That's right. But then on 3106,
You may not get me on that.
3106? Oh, good bill. Glad to have you. All right. So much for 2270. Further discussion?
Yeah.
Those who are in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. The amendments are adopted. Senator Carson moves to support the due pass recommendation. Discussion. First, call the roll.
Okay,
aye.
Carson?
Aye.
Senator Howard?
Aye.
Senator Jurenske?
Aye.
Senator
Meeker?
Aye.
I wonder if we consider the
rubric. I don't count. We better have a backup.
Okay. Would you like me to back up?
Yeah.
All right.
if Senator Newbery doesn't want to carry the bill, all I say, let's just have Senator Carson get it.
You don't want to get punched in the face when you suggest it.
I feel compelled to go with it if I end up anything. All right, now 3106. We have the amendment in our package? Now what this does, there was objection by the Water District to 3106 because they feared that local governmental units would do an end run on them and chop off some of the geographical territory that they expected to service, and they'd build a plant to do it. And therefore, they had put a capital investment in there with the idea they were going to service that area. And what this does is let them go to the PUC and have a geographical area set up, established for them, so they can build their plant to measure it with the geographical area they're going to service. Is that right, Robin? And the PUC think that's okay, right? You're in your book, June 6, 1973. Jack McIsaac of PP&L, and we communicated with Commissioner Straub. Both of them are in the water business. And, I'm sorry, they're in your. I found them in my book. I don't know if I found them here.
Mr. Chairman, another comment.
Senator Meek. Reading what the Boundary Commission does, and this is their, the reason they were established in the first place by the legislature, is that you find various units of government, special service districts, counties, cities, they have conflicts between themselves. And so those conflicts go unresolved, and therefore nothing happens. And the Boundary Commission resolve those conflicts. Now, kind of an arbitrary way to do something, but it's better than having people sitting out there without services.
Then, as you understand the amendments, they give these private entities and public districts a boundary.
It gives the water companies, and now let me just double check. Does this include water districts that they're publicly owned as well as private water companies? Now, is that correct, Robin? It was really aimed to satisfy the water company.
Privately owned.
Privately owned. Okay. Okay, we're talking about privately owned those.
Yeah.
It gives them boundaries which they do not now have any way of achieving.
I want you to understand also, Mr. Chairman, that once we pass this bill and the other one, that there will be no argument for three-man commissions that have been taken away from their work.
Are you asking me to remind you?
We don't need to
answer. There's a rule. There's a rule, Senator. There's a rule.
adopt an amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker moves to adopt an amendment. Discussion. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. The amendments are adopted. Senator Meeker moves the bill to the floor with the two-pass recommendation. Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Okay, Mr. Burns.
Aye.
Okay, Carson.
Aye.
Mayor Howard.
Do you want to carry the bill, Senator?
No, I do not.
Does anybody here want to carry the bill? Any volunteers?
Me, Mr. Chair.
No, I don't care to carry the bill.
Ken, would you prefer not to?
I prefer not to.
Okay.
I think either Senator Cook
put
or
it on my saddle.
Either Senator Cook or Senator Johnson would be delighted.
Yeah, well, okay.
They're not here.
Okay. All right, now let's go to 2965 and 2548. Senator Carson, you are chairman of a subcommittee. And I understand you had a meeting, and
you might call it that.
A meeting or a subcommittee?
We had to call it. We had a meeting. We had a gathering.
And I understand there's some amendments. And Steve, you have those? Do you want to come up? And
the committee has those, I think, Mr. Chairman.
Oh.
Where are
you?
Yeah. Okay, we'll give them and call in your subcommittee report.
County is simple. If I got what the gathering wanted.
I'd like to, while you're here, if we can 2548 normal. We hope with a meeting tomorrow, this meeting, the meeting tomorrow morning, and a relatively short meeting on Friday, that the committee will have all its work done unless some bills have very high priority to get out of the House. Landlord tenant passed the House today with three dissenting votes. Class action bill got out of the House Judiciary Committee. 5-0-4-1 again.
Thanks for the update.
I was there at the committee.
Mr. Chairman, on 2548, we met yesterday, and these are basically my amendments. And on page 2, line 21, the amendment that's there, in effect, reestablishes the fact that the bill's intent was that a member could be removed for cause for any reason after he's had a hearing. And I object to that as long as they have judicial or quasi-judicial files. I think they must be independent from the appointing authority. So we're returning it basically to the law in that regard, but breaking it into two sentences. So agree, the member appointed to planning commission may be removed by the governing body after hearing for misconduct or non-performance duties. And that's the First Amendment, our first phrase. The second one printed there is the amendment that Senator Meeker requested.
Did we make that? Did we adopt that amendment? The second one already on page 520.
I think you know.
We did not adopt it.
Okay. So I'll move these two amendments.
Okay. Senator Carson moves the amendments. Discussion. Those in favor of the amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. Okay. The amendments are adopted.
So what does the bill do now?
What it did.
Well, there are a number of aspects to it. I think the most important part for the ones dealing with the number of who may composition of the planning commission, not necessarily the number of the planning commission, but the composition of it. Then, for the most part,
that's the planning director, hearings officer.
Primarily, that's
characterizing the authority of the county to have the planning body.
I think one of the hidden virtues of this measure is the statutory recognition of the advisory committee and the procedure whereby they are established and directed to carry out their functions. Yamhill County has had this for some time, and I think one of the reasons why the plan was developed by the planning commission is found to be acceptable. If they went out and got people input through the advisory committee, it worked quite well.
I think that's right. Is there further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, one of the things I had originally asked to be done was to parallel the city, which will take up next with the county.
That's in the other bill.
Yeah, there are two bills. One, and I think that ought to be done, and I'm very hopeful that during the interim we can get some sense to it and put it together. Can't do it now.
We sent a letter to the president indicating that we wanted that to be included in the
Sure. Good things in the bill, not to monkey with it any further. I think it would be better if they were parallel, but we can't do it in a week.
So we adopted the amendment. Your motion on the bill?
I'll move it forward to pass.
Senator Carson moves 2548 to the floor of the due pass recommendation. Discussion, clerk, call roll.
Thank you,
sir.
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Carson?
Aye.
Senator Howard?
Aye.
Would one of you tell us?
You are a fast man on the road on the
first.
No.
Did I call you last night?
You wouldn't hear
how you're
here. Chairman, can we turn to 2965?
Yes. Do you want to carry 2548? Tony,
why do you carry the county? I'll carry the city.
You want to carry 2548? Okay. Senator Meeker, please.
Cities, there's a thing emerging in this bill that we have a little trouble with, and I don't know how Steve handled it, but a thing emerging as a hearings officer, and what is built into this bill, I think is an important aspect. Unfortunately, this bill, in my view, kind of lands firmly on both sides of the issue at the same time, which is going to make it a little difficult, and that is moving toward the direction, if the city council wants to, of taking the modification adjustment aspect from the planning commission out of the hands of the planning commission and putting it in the hearings officer. And I was talking to representatives from the association of Oregon County, and my concern about independence follows the adjudicatory side. I'm very hopeful here too, Mr. Chairman, during the interim, the committee, if it does come into existence, can decide under the governing Supreme Court ruling, who ought to have the judicial function. And once the judicial function is in the hearings officer, I would have no objection to going back and making the planning commission's advisory. As long as they have a judicial function, I think they've got to be independent of the 25. So Steve, could you tell us, this is the first time I've seen you, and that's what we've done for this bill.
Okay. Well, let me go back a ways. This is a composite of all the amendments that the committee has had to date on 2965. So if I may, I'll just show you what we did after the gathering, okay? All right, on line 20, page 2, we made a similar change that we've made in 2548. So in effect, we're saying on line 20, just let me read it. A member may be removed by the city council, after hearing, for misconduct or non-performance of duty, period. That's the way that sentence will now read.
What would you think, as I remember at one point in time, when the city of Southdale had problems with members of the planning commission that simply didn't show up, do you think that this non-performance of duty is broad enough for that?
What we're doing is, in the city statute here, we're paralleling the language that's been in effect for the county.
What zoning is not a problem with lots of small cities. They still show up. It's certainly broad, but I mean, I hope it's broad now.
Yeah.
It's changing.
Right, so this is an improvement, because there's no provision now for removal, this is.
Yeah, so this will be an improvement.
Yeah.
Okay, the next change, skipping through all this stuff, is on page 3, line 34, we strike the paren 1 reference, and that's simply because we're deleting on page 4 all of subsection 2.
Page 3, what line?
You strike the paren 1 there, denoting the first subsection.
Line 34.
And that's because on page 4 we're deleting all of subsection 2 of section 7.
Well, now, if you didn't go through these here, right? You got through
those
already.
I think you've been through those before. These the other ones are conflicts amendments with Senate Bill 647, which is now also residing in the second house for action. And one change included the first one there, commission members shall be residents of the city except the city is having a population of more than 3,000 or of less than 3,000 shall have may have two non-residents of the city on the commission. I don't recall where that came from.
Well, it applies to other cities. Presently they have the non-residents. And what was the reasoning in deleting this insofar as the other planning commission? Why is it taken out? What was the argument for not leaving the law the way it is now?
I don't know, Senator.
Has this amendment already, has that amendment already been adopted or was it just discussed?
Discussed?
I'm sorry. I raised the question about what the reason has been given, if any, for removing the provision that as many as two of the members of the planning commission may be non-residents of the city. Has there been anything, has there been shown that there's anything wrong with it?
Well, maybe I'm missing your point, Senator, but I...
Presently, a planning commission may have not more than two members who may be residents of the city. Now, my question...
Can you get the present time to
yes.
So maybe non-residents of the city.
Now, has there been any compelling argument for changing that? Has there been any abuse shown, or...
Well, what the amendment does is limit that special provision to cities of less than 3,000.
I know, but what did you use above 3,000?
Yeah. Well, right. Well,
who suggested the amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I can tell you the history behind that.
Senator Meeker.
We had a bill in Senate Bill 647, which was brought to us with a request from the people of Mount Eden. Called the bill, we expanded it. Currently, the law says that you have to have 9 planning commission members. So we passed the 47, the Senate passed it, and the House Judiciary passed it. And the bill was amended in House Judiciary to say what it says in having a population less than 3,000. So in order to make this thing work, we have to amend this section of the statute so we aren't conflicting the two bills.
Well, the point is, why have we passed that bill in the Senate?
The Senate has already passed it.
Well, not with that.
Not with
but
that.
Not
with that provision. It's been amended in the House.
Well, the point is, now I don't know about other cities, but I can. I know that certainly in small cities, and Troutdale still qualifies here. But I suspect that frequently, and maybe this was the original reasoning behind this too. That frequently there are persons in the community who may just happen to live outside of the city, but who have a strong interest in what goes on in the county or the city. We're talking about cities here. I know Troutdale, for example, has one or two members of the commission who live out, too, one of them is my neighbor, who live outside of the city. Now, it happens to be a small city, but let's just take the exact opposite. Let's take Portland. And for example, if Senator Atiyah
sure he's not interested. Yeah. Property in the city of Portland. He probably has a strong interest in the city of Portland. What reason is there why a person who has an interest in things like that, or Senator Monster, or former Representative Monster, or others, shouldn't be in a position where they could be appointed to the Planning Commission? Because they really are very interested.
Chairman.
Senator Meeks.
The only comment I can make, I make no value judgment to this answer. But I simply am interested of solving the problems around Main Street amenable to the suggestion of the Judiciary Commission. Perhaps you can have concerns here, and we should not concur in amendments to that bill. But I hate to jeopardize 2965 because of that.
Well, what if we put it in here? What if we left until we have evidence of taking it out? What if we left in here the deleted language, which means we could take out the new language, not more than two of whom shall be non-residents of the city, and took out the new language. And until we get some argument about it.
Are you making that motion?
If this is a proposed amendment, I'm suggesting...
Are you moving an amendment to the amendment?
Have the amendment been moved?
Let me throw something else.
Senator Carson moved the amendment.
Yeah.
Well, no, we want to get amendments here. Okay. Senator Carson, I moved the amendment. All right.
Steve has something.
Okay. I was just going to say, part of the reason here, Senator Mika was right. In 647 originally, you deleted that, you know, non-resident thing in there. All right. Mount Angel problem said you bring it back. There was also another reason, if I recall the discussion correctly, and that is that you're providing for a commission of 5, 7, or 9 members. Now, if you've got a city of more than 3,000, maybe it's desirable to see that all the members of the commission live within that city. Why have someone outside the city come in when there should be 5, 7, or 9 people who are willing, or at least 5 people who are willing to be planning commission members for that city that they live in?
But I think Senator Cook has a good point. You own half the town and live outside the city, and he never really lived in that city.
Well, my feeling is if he does, he ought to live there.
Well, okay.
Well, in the Scottsdale community, which is different from Portland, I realize, we have more than feeling them together. But there, I think it's been a really healthy to have these people on the fringe of greater Scotland.
Okay, could I suggest one thing before you vote on these amendments? If Senate Bill 647 passes, then you've got to worry about which one will take effect and how it will take effect. And if you would agree to, let me put it this way, if you would agree on the policy question that if 647 is enacted, that you will go along with the change in 647 on the just the 3,000 limitation of population, then what I'd suggest is that you delete the first, we change the first amendment here, starting on line 15 on the first page of the amendment. See it here, this paragraph? You delete that and put in the restoration of the old language if you want, and then leave your conflict provision the same, so that if this one and 2965 are both enacted, and they could well be, then your conflict will read, both of them will read the same, there'll be no problem with what should be the law. But if 647 is not enacted, then your provision will control. Does that make sense?
That sounds like a good solution. I still move.
Well, this might be a good place to have the burn to have the, I object to it all the time, but that city over 300,000, they have to live inside the city of other sizes than Colt. Throughout the Oregon law 1,000 times to get at Portland one way or the other. But if nobody can't find a first commissioner to serve inside the Portland, they aren't looking very hard. Without them, I see what your
But there are other considerations. Here we are, and then the reason the last bill we voted on, I didn't raise any objection to. to the county bill, because it amends the law so that no longer a system passed, so a majority of the members of the county planning commission have to live outside of the city. But it occurred to me, here we are trying to integrate cities and counties. We're trying to get people to do each other's laundry. Isn't it time maybe that we do away with these restrictions and say we should have someone from outside of Portland on the Portland Planning Commission, and maybe have someone outside of Scottsdale, and have someone in Portland on the County Planning Commission? Now that's healthy if we're really thinking we're living in the whole same community. So I really think that this is a backward step in terms of trying to really bring all of the public-spirited people together to devise a good plan for the community, irrespective of city
law. The reason I'm opposed to this is because everybody wants to do the laundry, but they don't want to stay in the laundry to do it. They want to carry it out to their rancheros and states and do it out there in the cool, and they don't want to stay in the heat of the laundry. And that's my object to it, and I think and that's the chorus you hear on the floor of the Senate every time you want to do anything about planning, and they don't address themselves to the real problem. And I think that's one of the reasons that they're not living the problem, they ran away from it. And that's why I'm opposed to these amendments. So,
well, in order to get this thing rolling, Mr. Chairman, I move that we amend the amendment by deleting on the first page of the amendment lines 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Okay. You're talking about the amendment of June 20, or are you talking
June
about?
June 20, 1973.
You're talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Okay, that's that second paragraph.
That's right.
Senator Meeker, so moved. Discussion. I've already expressed my views. I think this is a disservice to good planning, and those people aren't willing to wash their laundry where it's hot by a day.
You also want to restore the
just wash the laundry in their own neighborhood.
Well, I'd like to respond to that. I say that we all have different routes to heaven. We sometimes disagree on how to get there. I happen to think that it's desirable for us to be planning on a metropolitan basis, without too much regard for the city line. And you'll note in your records that I generally vote for the metropolitan planning bills, which you've been supporting and pushing, because I think that's consistent with my views. On the other hand, I think it's consistent with my views that we not place too much emphasis on the city line, so I'm supporting the amendment.
Well, the big objection is the people in Portland. The big objection is they usually appoint somebody that lives in Lake Oswego.
But it's the Portland Council that's doing it, you see. Under these bills, the Portland Council does, and it isn't the governor does it. It's the Portland Council that's going to do the appointing. If they want to appoint somebody from Lake Oswego, I guess that's their problem.
Yeah, well, that's we can control that by doing it. We control everybody else.
Okay. Any further discussion? First, call the roll.
Chairman, I want to clear up a point. I think I'm correct.
Senator Carter.
Senator Meeker's motion by just deleting those amendments would leave 2965 basically exactly the way it is, which means no non-resident could serve. If you vote aye for Senator Meeker's motion. Now, Steve has suggested we do that that Senator Meeker has suggested and then restore language on line 15, not more than two of whom shall be non-residents of the city. Was that just suggesting? That's what Senator Meeker intended, but
I want to make sure that affects 647.
That's coming up. 647 is another issue. This I think the way to look at it is what we're suggesting is doing the way we want to do it.
Yeah.
And then cave in on 647.
Okay.
Because the 647 passes out of control. But the only way out of it, let's do it the way we want to do it.
So what we're going to say, unless 647 passes, then there won't be any restriction on non-residents serving on anything.
It's not quite as motion, but why don't we take it as that being?
We've got a fact to say.
Yes, it is.
All right. There's further discussion. Clerk, call the roll. No.
Senator Carson?
No.
Senator Cook?
Aye.
Senator Howard?
No.
Senator Jernigan?
Aye.
Senator Meeker?
Aye. Okay, and the motion fails. Senator Carson,
I move we
adopt the amendment.
No, I move we amend the amendment by
deleting the language that Tony's talking about, what amounts to the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh line of the amendment, and not the restoring.
What's
that would have the effect of this, that if 647 does not pass, then he must be a resident of the city. If 647 passes, then the tinker on 3000 fills in.
Yes, I forgot. Where is 647? If it passes, then you can have non-residents. If it doesn't pass, you can't. That's the intent of your amendment, right?
I've been advised that 647 depends on passing the other.
All right, you understand the amendment?
Yeah, I think it's a bad motion. I think that it's very bad because it's bad enough that you're saying in this bill that a non-resident in a city over 3,000 cannot serve on the planning commission. That is in contradiction to the whole theory of trying to bring about regional planning and sensible planning. It demonstrates that sometimes the Portlanders are the most damn provincial, isolated people in the whole world, and they think the world rotates around Portland, and then they have the nerve to accuse other people outside of Portland of being provincial. And when actually, there's no doubt in my mind that the former mayor of Troutdale and the city manager of Gresham are about 10 times more cosmopolitan than the current mayor of Portland in their actual attitude about things. So what you're doing if this passes, if this amendment passes and the bill passes, you're saying not only can a non-resident of a city over 3,000 not serve on a planning commission, but even in a small city where they are in fact an integral part of a community, maybe some in and some out, a person can't serve on the planning commission. And I think that's kind of terrible.
Chairman,
I think
it's about time to look at compromise. Could we insert a figure that is more palatable?
3,500?
3,000. Because I think there's some merit for it.
Mr. Chairman, why don't we vote on this issue, and if it fails, if it passes, what we're really saying as far as 2965 is the majority of us want residents to serve on city planning committee. If that fails, then we're back to the question of non-residents, and we can establish.
Is that all right, Senator? Okay. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Senator
Aye.
Senator
Cook?
No.
Senator Howard?
Well, I don't know. We're talking pretty good.
He wasn't responded to. We're going to lose our committee here in about 5 minutes.
What?
We're going to lose a lot of our committee members here in about 5 minutes. That's the reason it wasn't a response.
Yes.
Thank you.
No.
Nope.
Three.
Okay. Anybody else got any other amendments they want?
All right, I move that as a compromise, although I don't really believe in it, that the only place where a non-resident cannot serve is in the city of over 300,000. How's that as a compromise?
Why don't we leave those things aside?
Fine.
Why don't we just leave that?
That's fine.
There's no requirement.
That's the effect of my motion, come to think about it.
What is that?
Well,
you take it out and don't restore the material.
Let
the city decide themselves.
If they want to have all from outside.
Troutdale needs our help. I'll look them up and sit on the
committee. I'll remake my motion.
Is that not the effect of my motion?
Okay.
I'll remake my motion and the city decide whether they have residents. They can have all residents.
All right. Discussion. Discussion. Those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. The motion is carried. Now,
is there anything else here we got to do on it?
Well, I'll
the committee will.
That amended the amendment, so now I call for the question on the refugee amendment.
All right. Now, we need to see if there's some problem
at our subcommittee meeting Friday. Senator Meeker was talking about possible amendments to Section 11, Sub 2, because if I recall right, there was some question as to the appeal.
where we were going to put the commission between the council and Mary Jo.
Yeah, but that wasn't adopted by the gathering.
Chairman, let me speak to that if I may.
Senator Carter.
That was an issue that I agree with Senator Meeker on, but I don't like the idea of a hearings officer in running the planning commission. But there's a concept that I didn't appreciate when I first read the bill that's buried in here, and that is that if the city, clear back over here in Section 7, decides to go the hearings officer route, they take out all the adjudicatory aspects and give it to the hearings officer. And I don't think it's set out very well, frankly, and maybe I wasn't reading it very well. I would think a city would be ill-advised today to make that exercise. But if they do, they're really putting the planning commission on the shelf, or the planning commission then plans. They become the dreamers. And the hearings officer is the adjudicatory functionary.
Well, he's above, under this bill, he's the head of the planning commission. I mean, they come to him before or after planning.
No, what this bill says, as I understand it, is that if you want to go the hearings officer route, you appoint him and give him the duties, and he's out there and he's doing the nitty-gritty variance, zone changes, the whole bit. And the planning commission are the dreamers. They're out doing their thing. Now, what I was worried about is some jurisdictions, Salem, Marion County, and others, have provisions for hearings officers to handle and work through the planning commission and then up through the city council, then the court. And I think that's a better procedure as long as the planning commission is the total planning body. They're just going to have to call their hearings officer and administrative officer, and that gets them out from under the purview of the statute. So it does provide cities, if they want it, to make the break that a lot of cities have been talking about, and that is getting the citizens out of the adjudicatory decision-making on whether a variance has been granted. The bad part about it is if they go that direction, we unfortunately don't provide for any safeguard that the hearings officer is independent, and I could almost guarantee you he's going to be the recorder who serves the pleasure of the city council, probably related to one of them, and that's going to be a very bad, bad scene, but that's up to the city to rectify that. Or we can do it instead of
the city. We can do the interim, see what they do and what they want.
Right.
All right. The Senator Carter moves to remain to the amendment. Further discussion? All those in favor, signify. Do we already do that?
No, we haven't done that.
Do you have something else to do?
Did anyone question how you're going to actually figure out that no more than two of the voting members are engaged in the same kind of business state of discussion?
That'll be up to city council. All right. Further discussion? Those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed signify by saying no. Senator Carter moves to the bill and pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk Conway.
Aye.
Senator
Carter.
Aye.
Mayor
Hi.
Mr. Howard.
Hi.
Mr.
Inskeep. Hi. Senator Meeker. Hi. Senator Carter, carry the bill. You're getting some signals over here.
Chairman, I've just got to go. Just been advised by my cohort here that he tends to leave, and I would like to offer some amendments to Senate Bill 665.
665? That's so far back in the book, we're going to have to move it.
It won't take but a minute.
Deal. That's a Senate bill.
Yes, it is a Senate bill, Mr. Chairman.
665.
And Mr. Kalinowski is here.
And Mr. Kalinowski, well, I didn't realize that.
Mr. Chairman.
I just got Bill Buster's foil. Is that my Oh, here it is. We had it, don't worry, Jack. It was in the refrigerator section here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the bill has been before the committee on two occasions, and the amendments were described in the last hearing. They take out the maintenance portion of the bill where it's required for a vehicle for maintenance. I would now move the adoption of the amendments.
Well, what are the amendments? Where are they?
You missed the last hearing, there they are.
Thank you.
I do too.
What does it do?
Mr. Chairman, could we have Mr. Kalinowski up at the table at the end for the third time? And then we explain what the amendments do.
Are these lengthy amendments?
These amendments are dated April something, Mr. Chairman.
April?
April 30, I believe, if I recall correctly.
What were they on?
Well, they were proposed. I mean, they were typed on April 30 by Legislative Council, and I don't think they've actually ever been formally offered to the committee.
Well, look, I think you've testified on these amendments before, haven't you?
I testified on the bill with those amendments, yes.
All right. Is there any questions of coming up?
I move the amendments be adopted.
Discussion? Those in favor of the amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, the amendments are adopted. Now, go back to the agenda. Well, I told Mr. Katz, Bill Katz, that we wouldn't take any action on this bill without him having an opportunity up here to set the committee. Now, he represents AGC, doesn't he?
The Oregon Construction Industry Council, of which AGC is a part.
Well, he's on the draft of this bill, isn't he?
He, a committee of five, Mr. Chairman, of which he was chairman, drafted the bill.
Well, why don't we do this? Why don't
we're having a meeting Friday, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow morning, a meeting on Friday. Why don't I call Phil Katz? I'll call him personally. He's a very capable attorney, did a good job on this bill. And I don't agree with Phil, but I mean, he's done an excellent job of drafting Chip, and very well.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we have amended the bill before.
Yes, we have an amended bill before us, and I'll call Phil Katz and see if he wants to come up, okay? Because I promise you not curious.
Where's the amendment?
They're right here. They're very well drawn.
That doesn't do me a damn bit of good. Let me see.
They've already adopted.
I don't care. I haven't adopted.
All right. So I'll call Phil, and if he doesn't want to be here, that's okay. Wally, good night.
I got table with them. Is that me getting it?
Senate Bill 157.
Maybe you just said something about it being a Senate bill. Let me go back.
Senate Bill 157. Now, this is a work session, not a hearing.
I fart.
Senator Otterkirk is here, and he sponsored this bill along with Representative McPherson, and I think it's been in the legislative session before, as I recall. And we had a bill here, it's Senate Bill 219, that set up a telecommunications commission. And it would have had the authority to study what kind of regulation and so forth the cable TV should have, and would be able to come back and make recommendations to the legislature or the PUC. And that, but it's my understanding that while there were had a lot of support from I think the majority of the cable TV industry, it was opposed by a segment, and it appeared to me at least, and Senator Carson has a longer history with this type of legislation than I have, but it appeared to me that there are those that don't want any study, and they would rather just have the legislature. Either they don't want any regulation at all, or they want the legislature just to adopt something and let it be whatever it may be, without any study. And so I'm not sure what the cable TV industry position is on this, whether they want the legislature just to adopt something without study, or whether they'd rather have something like Senate Bill 219, which could have done it. And so it appears that because I understand a significant number of the members of the industry opposed to 19. In fact, I think are instrumental in getting it off the floor of the Senate and up to its death chamber, that maybe they would prefer something like this.
Do you know anything about that, Senator Dodson?
I do not know anything about that, Senator.
Do you want to turn it out? We'll have a discussion here, please. Do you want to say something, Senator Dodson? You understand this is not a hearing, but when we have sponsors of bills here, why, we extend them courtesies that we know what other people can do.
I've
had a long history of sponsoring this type of legislation.
A notification to be here, Senator, by
our staff. Oh, we just brought it to your attention. Just wanted to bring your attention. We wouldn't consider any bills you're the sponsor of, but allow us to know.
Thank you, Senator. Yes, I have introduced legislation in this line. If you look at Senate Bill 157, it does nothing except add, for the convenience of the television communication through a community antenna television distribution system, to the statutes ORS 757.005, which already regulates the utilities, the telephone companies, the power companies, all the rest, for the state of Oregon. In essence, it makes cable television a part of the public utility and the responsibility of the PUC commissioner, the state of Oregon. It does not in any way direct him to do anything other than control it, as he does already now with the major utilities, the telephone systems, the power systems, the others. The reason I introduced it some 10 years ago was that when cable television came into the state of Oregon, it was like Topsy. It started out with everybody and his brother deciding it was a good form of business to get into because it was something that everybody was going to want. It wasn't necessarily a necessity, but it was one of those things that creates a necessity, like a telephone or anything else. In the districts such as I served at the time, the TV cable companies were normally owned by, as I say, someone who thought it was a good business, not necessarily had any expertise at all in the distribution of the system, so that he created a situation of desire without giving any system of maintenance, fees, or anything else. Either you took it or you didn't take it. And you took it whether it was snowy or whether it was anything else, because there was no one to direct him at all as to saying what kind of service he had to give you. The demand was there, but there was nothing to regulate him. At that time, Joan L. Hill was the commissioner, the PUC commissioner, and I talked to Joan L. and he says, hell, I haven't any idea what I would do. But he said, I would assume the responsibility that was given to me. Well, we didn't get anywhere at that time. There was a tremendous, wonderful old lobbyist here by the name of Gene Kelty, who was dead, God rest his soul. And we had a meeting in the Marion Hotel with all the Northwest and California television cable company, and they said, well, if you allow us a period of time to police our own industry, we will see what we can do to upgrade the industry, that we will go on the same status, as we say, as the attorneys do in having their own bar examination of their own people. This is exactly what they said. And at the same time, they said the federal government is going to take some steps in this direction, so we don't want the state to impose some regulations that would be opposed to what the federal government would say. Anyway, I said, as long as you can give it and guarantee it's the service, then I'm quite willing not to force you to take state responsibility. So at that time, as I said, we went along with it. The services never got any better, and so I introduced again a bill which would require cable television companies to come under the PUC commissioner. This time, as you recall, and in the governor's statement here, he says, to enable our state to become properly equipped to serve the public in this field, I endorse the creation of a commission on telecommunication to provide essential programming and broadcasting services and to provide leadership for forging new networks for the free flow of information. I also propose that minimal new regulations or regulatory powers be granted to the Public Utilities Commissioner to set minimum standards for cable television companies. Now, I said to the chairman of this committee at the time when the bill dealing with commission or the Telecommunication Commission was on the floor of the Senate that I thought we had the cart before the horse.
that the responsibility should be given to the PUC commissioner in the regulation of the cable television company, and that the telecommunication commission should be allowed to run a complete survey on the needs and desires of television cable and its responsibilities, and make recommendations to the PUC commissioner. And that's why I still maintain that we need Senate Bill 157.
Senator Carson.
Do you object to the senator who brought the set-up, not just the community antenna distribution, but cable television itself?
Not at all. In fact, as I said, I still maintain that you got the cart before the horse when you put the other bill up. If you had some responsibility with the PUC commissioner, I think that would have been a proper approach.
Senator Meeker.
Are we prepared to have a message for this committee tonight?
Pardon me?
How much difficulty is going to be to include the cable? What are we going to have to add to the bill?
Well, we'll Steve and have amendments back here tomorrow morning on that. Is that your motion?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we can do it right now.
Well, we could, but I want to, I'm not going to have any amendments that the legislative council doesn't have an opportunity to review overnight. So if you want to make the motion?
Could we move in concept?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we add cable TV to Senate Bill 157.
Okay, you heard the motion, discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying no. The motion is adopted. Steve, will you prepare those amendments? Have them to us here tomorrow morning.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker.
I'm going to vote 157 amendment 12.
I would do that ordinarily, but what I want to do, I want to succeed his amendment. We're going to meet tomorrow morning. We can wait overnight. And it's not going to speed the bill up at all. Because we want the, and we'll, if we put it out tomorrow, it'll be on the floor Tuesday. Okay? It may be as early as Monday. But we have it by Tuesday. Okay, Steve, you'll do that.
On these bills, now there are a series of city-county bills that I hope will come on the agenda early so we can really get through them.
On the agenda?
Well, no, they're on the agenda now, so we can hear them first. We don't end up with them not being heard. One is House Bill 2625.
Not on the agenda tonight, is it?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow morning. What I'm concerned with is that we don't get hung up with something like this tomorrow.
Thank you, Senator Otterkirk.
Thank you. And end up with no time to get to those. I'm really concerned.
Well, we're going to take the ones that are on the agenda tonight before we go to tomorrow.
Well, this is not the agenda.
It is. Number one. That's the top.
Well, all I'm concerned is that we get some action on House Bill 2625 and Senate Joint Resolution 24.
Those are on tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning, yeah. Yes. We don't get hung up with haggling over this and not get to this.
We're on tonight's agenda, Senator Cook. The next thing we're taking up is House Bill 3099.
Have they on tomorrow?
These bills?
No, bills at the top.
Yes.
Yeah, they're on tomorrow.
2717 on tomorrow.
Yes.
3099.
Dean. Tony, you got that letter, but you got one of those letters from Jerry Kidd.
You got out of my office, Chairman. I'm glad to go get it.
Well, mine, I don't know where mine is. Some committee room. Well, that's all right. We got Don Carlson here. Is Don here?
Yeah.
Okay,
Chairman.
Yep. Okay, now. Oh, I'm sorry, there was some, well, no, we're not, that's a work session, no testimony. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Now, as I understand, 3099 is just a housekeeping thing, is that right, Ron? Don, where's Don? Oh, there's Don, yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. Now, we've had this before, a couple times before, we had a hearing on it. Has anybody got any problem with 3099? Okay, Senator Howard moves to the floor with due pass recommendation. Discussion, clerk, call the roll.
Wait, what are we talking about?
3099.
No, I'm not ready to vote on that. We don't want that out yet.
Well,
oh, vote on it later, please.
All right, the chairman moves House Bill 3102 to the floor to do pass recommendation.
What is it?
Mr. Chairman, I have some
amendments to that bill.
Where are they?
Well, I think I've adopted some of them already. Yeah, this is the region for 5973 on the region on the and I can repeat them for you.
Well, as I recall, we've already adopted them. On line 17, page 2, we struck out those statutes, the new language. And on page 3, line 2, we deleted assessment and put in the word tax, put a period after roll, struck the rest of the sentence. And what did we do on section 3? Did we do something on section 3 down there?
We did not adopt the amendment, but we discussed it.
What was the proposed amendment there? Do you remember, Senator?
Mr. Chairman. There was a question as to whether or not this was involved some of the decisions that are being made currently or have been made by non-commission that may or may not be questionable and could bring about a lawsuit. If you were wondering about the propriety of adopting language that, in essence, ratifies every decision they make.
It ratifies acts already taken.
Right.
Yes.
My question is, and I suppose the council can answer the question, does this in any way affect the probability of a lawsuit or action might be taken against the other commission?
Yes, New Grove, 3102.
Right.
Okay, it says all boundary changes initiated and purported to be effective, in other words, concluded, in accordance with the Boundary Commission law, prior to the effective date, are ratified and declared to be valid. Now, unless you can successfully go into court and show that it was either not initiated or not purported to be effected or completed in accordance with those provisions, you're going to have ratified those acts. Now, if someone wants to go in and contest the act and say, this is not a valid act, it was not validated by the action under Section 3 because it was not initiated in accordance with the Boundary Commission powers, and it was never purported to be completed in accordance with their powers, then the court will down it.
So we, in essence, are negating the possibility of lawsuits in some instances.
Well, you might be discouraging a lawsuit. The question, the way this thing is worded right now, maybe Don has some background on it. The way this thing is worded right now, all boundary changes initiated and purported to be effected in accordance with are ratified and declared to be valid, doesn't solve any problem. Because you can still take them up on a court test. Writ of review or whatever. Well, the only way you can change it is to make the whole thing meaningless, to say all boundary changes initiated and effected in accordance with. And then there's no reason to validate. My point is, why is the section there originally?
Is it
important to you?
Security. It's probably a
security.
School
districts
do it all the time.
Yeah.
Every time the legislature do it, I think each one of us swallow very hard and do it, Chairman.
Probably something
that
ought to be done.
But
where
are they for
bonding?
For
a
court of
bonding
purposes.
I think that's what they said there.
Well, what are the amendments on this bill?
There, the amendments, we have no amendments before except those that we've already got.
And what are the ones that...
Did we adopt those amendments before?
Did we adopt them on the meeting?
So it's all right. Okay, I move we send the House Bill
3102. By the way, I'm not sure, as my recollection, we adopted these amendments, but.
Yes, I've got a 5-9 issue with the
We did adopt it, right?
Yes.
Okay, it has been adopted. Senator Cook moves the bill before it was passed by committee. Discussion, clerk, call the roll.
Mayor Dan.
Aye.
Mayor Bryan. Mayor Cook.
Aye.
Mayor Howard.
Aye.
Any volunteers for that, Jules? Okay, I'll take it.
Well, this 3105, probably all right, but with the attitude of the members of the Senate.
I'll carry it.
Are you moving 3105?
You have a problem there?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm very reluctant to change this rule at this time. I think that we have pretty valid reasons to keep the two-thirds majority of the interest in the overwhelm. I think that we will have.
I know we will. I'm prepared to pass out every one of these bills. I will carry them all myself and come back here. All I want is the first aid kit. Lots of advantages.
I think we are approaching the first. If this bill, if you feel that way about the bill, then we should keep it to that.
No, I'm in favor of this bill. I'm in favor of this bill, Senator Meeker, and I think an argument is made for it, and I think it should be passed. But I'm willing to take my chance. I think it's desirable legislation. This is this one and 3106, I thought was important, and the one 3102. And I'd really like to get 3099 out sometime. They would pretty well
set
our duty.
I think that this bill ought to be, it's probably all right, but I think that it ought to be voted out about next Tuesday morning. We might have a chance to pass it.
We have a little bit of control in time, Senator Cook.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm kind of slow sometimes to get those things
Mr.
down.
Mr. Chairman, this makes it much more difficult for the objections of the United States. There's no question about it.
So you got a triple vote there.
But it reduces the number.
From two-thirds to a majority, as I recall.
So that those people who do not wish to have additional taxes now have that much less opportunity to oppose it.
Well, so it gives them a majority vote. As a further discussion, we haven't moved it yet. I'll move it. For the past recommendation. Further discussion, we have been making. Clerk, call roll.
Thank you,
sir. Aye.
Mayor Cook?
Aye.
Mayor Howard?
Aye.
Mayor Jensen?
Aye.
Mayor Meeker?
No. All right, I'll carry it.
Why don't you let me carry it?
You want to carry it? Okay, I tell you, anybody can carry these bills, they're going to have a better shot at than me.
Don, John, will you get me something to argue 3105?
Be glad to.
Thank you, Bert. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meeker. I tell you.
I think the people know how I feel about that.
You and I have discussed this before, Senator Meeker. There's no personal quarrel or anything else. We work very well together all the week. Vary in our philosophy a little bit sometimes. Now,
I would like this personal favor. Tomorrow, as soon as we get 6 or 7 members of the city county bills,
they'll be up
and going.
These bills that are on tomorrow morning, we'll take in any order you want. They're under
John.
Cook.
What happened to 3099?
3099, you indicated you didn't want to vote on it tonight, so did Senator Cook.
Well, if you want to send every bad bill in here to the floor so that we have a good record, you might
as well do it. Senator Meeker, during the course of our association on this committee, there have been those times you and I have disagreed, and if I told you in advance, when I got the horses, we vote them out. We got along very well. That basically hadn't had too many times when that had to be done. And to have all the discussion you want on it, and if you disagree, we disagree. And I think
I think this is a good one, actually. What it means is you come in with the original petition, and then after the petition is in, the change is made by the district boundary board. So you're validating the petition retroactively back to the time that it occurs.
Senator Cook moves 3994 to pass recommendation. Further discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Mayor Cook?
Aye.
Mayor Howard?
Aye.
Mayor Hoppick?
Aye.
Mayor Harris?
Aye.
Mayor Gerke?
Aye.
No. And I want to make it clear, there are people here listening to our discussion between Senator Meeker and myself, and I want to make it very clear that on the bills that we've disagreed on, some of them have been big bills from that, Senator Meeker's criticism has always been constructive, and he hasn't been just sitting there opposing him, he's coming with amendments, and it's very helpful all the way along, and I say this...
Well, you don't need to explain
okay,
that.
Well, it's important to me that you realize it, and it's important to me that people
I'm
here...
I'm glad you're a good guy.
Well, he's been a hard worker and been... The real important contributions to the committee.
Actually, that one is
all right. I've got four Senate bills. Oh, I forgot. Three Senate bills here that I might look at too on the table. 743.
Too late.
Table.
743. 743. Too late.
Senator Howard moves the table Senate Bill 743. Discussion? It's up the way up the front. So we got quite a few House bills. I tell you, we had somebody helping during the day on the books, Senator, and some of the bills got out of order.
Well, yeah.
Tony, you don't want to move. You don't want to vote on the table.
I've already marked the table.
Senator Howard moved the table, Senate Bill 743. Discussion, first call the roll.
Aye.
Yeah.
Two more.
You do,
two more. Aye.
How are you doing?
It's a turkey that Bill Stevens is on in.
Move the table, aye.
Senator Howard?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, table 745, same motion. Same sponsor, same reason. Senator Howard moves the table.
Aye.
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 Cook.
Aye.
Senator Howard.
783. I'm sorry about that. Senator Howard moves the table, Senate Bill 783.
Good enough.
Discussion, first call the roll.
Divide the base.
Aye.
Order.
Aye.
I got five House bills I'd like to have the same motion on.
All right.
2974. This is what's called closing down the list. 2974.
Requires that applicants and owners of farmland for certain special assessments be accompanied by $10 filing fee.
Okay, clerk call roll. Aye.
What
are you doing?
Tabling 2974. Requires a $10 filing fee when you ask for special assessment.
Mr. Chairman, I wonder, Tony has some real reservations. I'll move with you to table it, but I would like to...
Oh, no, on 2974?
No, on 3099. I'd like to move to reconsider.
All right,
that.
Fine.
I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed out 3099.
All right, let's... okay, we will reconsider it. We'll do it tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a complete brief that I prepared for this bill on the night before.
I want
to show the committee
fine.
The real dangers that are in that bill.
All right. Okay. Tomorrow morning.
It's reconsidered.
No objection. Tomorrow morning. Okay.
The table is 2974.
Clerk call the roll.
Yes.
Aye.
Cook.
Aye.
Howard.
Aye, we did, aye.
Thurston.
Aye.
Peters.
3139, the next one.
31 what?
3139. Oh, that one, you know, I don't know. Okay, we better leave 3139 alive. Let's go to 31.
Yeah, that's a district.
Okay, so all right, we're not going to, that's it.
Okay, please.